Good morning. Welcome to worship on another rainy day, but we're glad that you're here today as we proclaim the risen Christ, as we continue to proclaim the resurrection. By way of announcements, several things to share with you. You've heard, I hope by now, that we're hosting a day camp this summer from Luther Ridge, where the Luther Ridge counselors are going to be here and run the camp. So all the great training and excitement and fun that college-age counselors can bring, and then all the convenience of it being here, right here. You don't have to go anywhere, and kids can sleep in their own beds. So that's going to be for kindergartners, people who have just finished kindergarten through people who have just finished the fifth grade. So we hope that you'll make plans to join us for that. There are registration forms in the back. You can get the registration form on our church website. Please spread the word about this too, because we want it to be something beyond just our congregation. And we're going to need a little bit of help because there are a lot of logistics that go into that, including the counselors that will be staying here for the nights of the camp. So we've got some things that we need, just some supplies and things that you might already have, and also the opportunity to sign up to help us feed these counselors. We've got a sign-up sheet out here on the bulletin board. If you'd check that and see if there's things that you might be willing to provide, that would be a great help. We did not get it in the bulletin because I didn't know when it was, but I think Wendy announced last week that the motorcycle ride that we have been doing for some years to support our backpack program does have a date scheduled, and that is going to be the 25th of May, that Saturday. So if you ride, hope you'll come again this year. Or if you know people who ride or communities who ride, share that, because all the proceeds from that go to provide food for kids at Davis Townsend, and it's a great event. I don't know anything about riding, but I've heard from people who ride that it's really well done, and that it's a fun ride that day, and there's lunch included. See Wendy Lohr if you need more information about that, or if you want to get a flyer from her to share with somebody else. And then some prayer concerns this week. I heard that Harold Beck had a bad fall this week and that Paul Conrad had a fall this week. So we want to pray for both of them. And then need to let you know that Sue Anderson died yesterday morning. She had gone home on Wednesday and they sort of knew things weren't good, but it just progressed very quickly. So her funeral is likely going to be Tuesday afternoon, but I don't have final details on that yet. When I do get those details, I will try to send out an email on the Google group, and if you're not somebody who has access to that, you could call the church office, and we will be able to tell you when that is. Actually, I'm thinking I'm going to hear from Bill this afternoon, but Latifah's not in the office till Tuesday. So if you're not somebody on the Google group, call me on my phone, and I will tell you when it is. If you need to know that between now and Tuesday. I know we've got some prayer shawls to share today, but are there other announcements we should share for the good of the community? Let's do some prayer shawls this morning.
So this prayer shawl is for Walt, so if y'all will put your blessings on it, I'm sure he's going to be very lonely and he needs our prayers. And this is for someone that works with Dottie. She had a baby at 28 weeks. Her name's Kaylee Walker. And so this one is for Kaylee, and then this is for baby boy Walker. So if you'll bless these. And this one is for Barbara Walden. It's a neighbor of Judy McLean. She has some health issues, and so she needs our prayers. And then the four that are up here on the handbell tables are for hospice. So if you'll just bless those as you walk by from communion. Thank you.
We wish happy birthday this week to Billy, Allison, Rosala, Melissa, and happy anniversary to Lynn and Latifah and Chad and Caroline. Anybody else we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Well-being
Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Marcus, you can come on up here and have a seat right here. All right. Good morning. Do you guys know what season of the church we're in? Anybody know? I don't expect you necessarily know. But we had a big celebration a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning because it was a special Sunday. You know what it was called? Easter. We're still in Easter. We are still celebrating Jesus' resurrection, and it's such a wonderful thing. And here's the thing about pretty much everything Jesus has a hand in. It changes us, and it changes things. So when Jesus was killed, you guys remember the story? Did he stay dead in the tomb? What happened?
He
rose, right? He's risen. And that's like a big change, right? Because usually, like, when something dies, that's like it. That's permanent. But Jesus changes death so that death is no longer the last thing for us. It's not the permanent thing anymore, okay? We're going to hear a story today about how Jesus meets a man on the road. This man's name was Saul, and Saul was not very nice to people who believed in Jesus. He would take them and put them in jail because he thought that they were wrong to believe in Jesus. But then Jesus comes to him on the road after Jesus has been resurrected and appears to him. And you know what? That changes Saul. After that, he goes by a different name. They start to call him by his Greek name, Paul, right? And we talk about Paul a lot in church. You'll hear about that as you get older. But it changed him. And after that, that man who had been mean to Christians, Saul, was one of the most important disciples and one of the most important leaders in the church after that, because encountering Jesus changed him. We are also changed when we encounter Jesus. Do you guys have any idea? Do you ever encounter Jesus anywhere? I think that you do, but maybe we don't always talk about it. So we think that when we have communion at this table here together, we encounter Jesus there. And what happens right here at this weird piece of tall furniture right here? Baptism, yeah. We think that Jesus encounters us in our baptisms too, and that changes us too. And it changes us into something completely different. So here's just a little example of that I got for you. Some of you all can read. Does anybody know what this says? What does it say, Rosalie? Matthew Smith. Anybody know who that is?
You.
That's me. Yeah. Okay. So I start off just as a normal guy, Matthew Smith, right? I'm going to put this, would you check this envelope for me, Rosalie? Is there anything in there?
No.
Okay. Can you see that? Anything in there, Conrad?
No.
Let's have everybody take a look. Okay. Does that look just like a pretty normal envelope right there? Yeah. Anything in there, Hannah? No, you'll just ruin this. You'll rip it all up. I know you. I'm going to put my name in there. I'm going to seal it up. Okay? It tastes delightful. When we encounter Jesus, that changes things, we said, right? And the way that it changes us is we go from being just who we're born as, which is somebody that God loves, but we are changed in our baptism. And you know what? Will you just rip that top open for me? It changes into something else besides just who we had been, and it changes us into this. What does that say?
Child of God.
That's right. We're changed. Jesus encounters us, and we are changed into children of God. And that means a few things. It means God loves us and cares for us no matter what happens. But it also means that we have some work to do, that we have, we are called to follow God too, to follow Jesus in God's purpose for the world. And that looks like loving all people, caring for all people, and working for the kingdom of God. So, it's Easter, right? Which means, what was the tomb when they got there? Was it full? It was empty. Jesus wasn't in there anymore. That changes things, and it changes us. It changes us. It calls us to be people of God who believe in the resurrection. And for you guys, that looks like being kind and treating people nicely, even if they're not nice to you. It looks like telling people about Jesus and serving all people, trying to help people. Does that sound like something you guys can work on? Because you're changed. You're not the same people that you were before Jesus was part of your lives. You are children of God, and that means we have work to do. Will you guys pray with me? Rosalie wants to look in this envelope after the prayer. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, the tomb is empty. You have changed us. Help us to follow you. Help us to serve all people. Amen. All right, Rosalie, get one more look in this envelope here. Anything else in there? No? Pretty amazing how we're changed. Pretty amazing how we're changed. We can talk later about how we do it, but the really amazing thing is how God changes us through encounters with Jesus. You guys, if you're going to Children's Church, you can line up over there, or you are welcome to stay and worship with us like always.
The first reading on the third Sunday of Easter comes from the 9th chapter of Acts. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, in the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hand on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell off from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 30, and will be read by whole verses. And it's up here on the wall. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I say in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication.
What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
So that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
The second reading is from Revelations, the 5th chapter. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and rejoiced. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Research psychologists, self-help books, and religious leaders all tend to reach the same consensus. If we humans want to do more than just stay alive, if we want to thrive, then we need more than just food and shelter. We need a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose in our lives. And for us, from the faith perspective, this makes total sense. We need belonging because we were made by God to be social creatures. We were made to live in relationship with each other and with God. We need purpose because we were created for purpose, for God's purposes in the world. And as our relationship with God as humans has developed through the generations, God has continued to point us to our purposes. You can find it all through the Bible, but I pulled a few. From Deuteronomy, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." And then later in Matthew, Jesus adds, "And love your neighbor as yourself." In Micah, God points us to God's purposes. "Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." In Matthew, the way Jesus puts it is, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Over and over and over again, God communicates God's purposes for us because God knows that we need purpose, and God knows we need it because it's what God created us for. God made us this way. But in our gospel lesson today, Peter and the disciples seem to have lost their grip on their belonging and on their purpose. Just to remind us a little bit about the context here in the Gospel of John, we get Easter morning, right? Mary Magdalene encounters the risen Jesus in the garden outside the empty tomb. And then subsequent to that, Jesus appears to the disciples, but Thomas misses out. Thomas is doing something, we don't know what, but he's not there. And so Jesus comes back again and appears again to the disciples so that Thomas may see, so that Thomas can put his hands in the wounds and believe. And this resurrection, the fact that Jesus can come back and appear to the disciples, it's miraculous, it's earth-shattering. But then, presumably, Jesus disappears on them again. And after a while, I bet the disciples are going, "Okay, well, Jesus is raised, thanks be to God. But now what?" Peter and the rest know that the Holy Spirit will be coming to empower them. But I got to think, as the days are slipping away and the bills aren't paying themselves, there was probably a lot of confusion for the disciples. So Peter and the majority of the 12 slip back into their old familiar habits. They decide to go back to doing what they were doing before they even ever met Jesus. So they go fishing. Kind of makes me wonder. Jesus has already shown the disciples that he's alive. He's already told them that he'll send the Holy Spirit. So what's Jesus doing back here, showing up to the disciples again? I mean, breakfast on the beach, don't get me wrong, it sounds lovely by the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure nobody's going to be upset by this miracle catch that Jesus helps them haul in. But why is the resurrected Jesus showing up here and now? I sort of suspect it has something to do with the fact that Peter and the rest have lost their grip on that sense of belonging and purpose. Because remember, it's not just that they've gone back to fishing that indicates that they're a little bit confused. There was also that unpleasantness of Peter professing his love for Jesus and saying he would lay down his life for Jesus, and then that same night denying Jesus three times. And from the way the story is told in John's gospel, it sounds like most of the disciples fled, with only one of them mentioned as being nearby during the crucifixion, which all sounds to me like they've forgotten who they are, forgotten to whom they belong, and what their purpose is. So probably, I think, Jesus isn't just showing up on this beach to bring in a good catch and have some breakfast with friends. Maybe he's here to remind them of their belonging and their purpose. At least it sure seems like that's what he's doing with Simon Peter. Three times Peter had denied Jesus, and so three times Jesus gives Peter the chance to confess his love. It's an act of mercy and reconciliation that says to Peter, you know what? Despite your shortcomings, this is where you belong, with me and in service to your God, not out there on a fishing boat. And in response to Peter's pledges of love, Jesus triples down on Peter's purpose. That purpose is not to pay his bills or fill his belly with fish. It is to care for the people of God. Jesus tells him, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Despite Peter's complete denial of him, Jesus is back with this message of mercy. "Nothing you have done, Peter, has separated you from me. You still belong here, and there's work for you to do." And actually, that's pretty much God's message of mercy for you, too. Nothing you have done or could ever do has separated you from God's love. You belong here. And once we've got that straight, there's some work to be done. There's a purpose to be fulfilled in your life. This belonging and purpose is actually exactly what baptism is about, where we put something concrete and tangible, the water, with God's promise of forgiveness and God's calling for us to do the work of the kingdom. And we need to be reminded, just like Peter needed reminding. So each day, Luther says, we're to wash our face, and as we do, remember our baptisms, which is to say, every day we need to remember to whom we belong, and what our calling and our purpose is, and that is to work for the kingdom of God. As the church, we aren't primarily about self-help, but I am convinced that what God calls us to is what is good for us. So whether things are going great in your corner of the world, or they seem a little off and you're feeling dissatisfied with the way things are, maybe what we all need is to focus again, to find again that place where we belong and where we have our purpose. And there's plenty of places that'll sell you some version of that, belonging and purpose. We get pretty good imitation versions of belonging and purpose a lot of places. But your true belonging is to be claimed and redeemed by the God who loves you so much that Jesus comes to be killed and then to be raised for you. And your true purpose is to do the work of the God who has already redeemed you just because God loves you. If that's not specific enough in terms of finding your purpose, do some prayer and discernment. If you want to, get a good friend and talk with him, or call me and let's sit down and talk about how we can put some flesh on God's purpose for us in the world. God's purpose that sounds like love your neighbor as yourself, and let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'd actually love to talk about how we, as individuals, as a congregation, heed the purpose God lays out in Micah about doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly as with our God. Church is one of those things, like a lot of things, where you sort of get out of it what you put into it. So wherever you find your purpose and God's calling for your life, get involved, right? We have some great ministries here. We can connect you to be a mentor with a kid at Davis Townsend who's struggling, or we can use help shopping or packing backpacks. We're talking about plans soon for a little free pantry out here by the road to be accessible to neighbors who have a need for food, right? Some sheep who might need feeding. But beyond this congregation's walls, there are so many needs. I know Davidson County Meals on Wheels needs drivers. The county is in desperate need of temporary and long-term foster homes, right? And even if you can't leave your chair, if those things aren't for you, there are dozens of people on our prayer list who are desperate for your prayers. The point is not where, in what service particularly you find your purpose, but that you find God's purpose for you somehow in service to others and God's world. Find that purpose because it's what your purpose is. It's what you were created for. What we proclaim this Easter season is that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that ought to change things for us. Peter can't go back to fishing after that, right? He can't go back to the way that things were before Jesus called him out of that boat, and neither can we. Because we know that the resurrection has happened, we have to be different for having heard that news. Our lives, they have to look different than the lives of non-believers, because we know that death is no longer the last thing. Our lives, our world needs to look different. Does it? If not, we need to make some changes, because Jesus is clear. You belong here. You belong to the risen Lord. And once we've got that straight, there's work to be done. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Lord, you call your disciples to follow the way of the cross by their words and their works of love. Make your church a place of welcome and empathy for all people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, every creature in heaven and on earth sings your praise. Give us deep appreciation for the vibrant diversity of your creation and help us to conserve the beauty around us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Come to the aid, Lord, of those who are persecuted, oppressed, or imprisoned by hostile governments and forces. Walk with refugees and immigrants as they seek safe homes. Raise up leaders who are generous and hospitable to all people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Healing, Lord, bring relief to bodies weary with pain, sickness, or grief. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Greg, Janice, Harold, the family of Sue, Paul, and all those we name now. Lord, bless doctors, nurses, hospice workers, home health care providers, therapists, social workers, and all caregivers who demonstrate your love in acts of healing and tenderness toward those in need. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Again this week, Lord, we grieve with those who have lost loved ones in a senseless shooting. But this time it's one of our communities. Our students know the people who were hurt. People who have often sat in these pews are the ones now having to walk back on campus in the aftermath of this tragedy. Uphold the entire community of UNC Charlotte, Lord. Bring healing to the wounded and the traumatized. Comfort those who mourn. And Lord, use us according to your purpose. Drive us in the wake of senseless violence to work to make this world a better place. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, you feed us at your holy table and then send us out to feed others. Bless all those who fish, bake, cook, and farm. Bless restaurant servers, grocery workers, and food pantry volunteers. Open our eyes to your grace present in every meal that we share. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, we commend these and all of our prayers to you. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Of God, you take away the sin of the world.
You have set before us a feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Say together our mission.
United people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the risen Lord.